further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's Clinton and Leslie.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
You know... did I get you? Sorry, Clinton's wearing cans right now, and like I talked, and he made this odd movement with his body.
Ouch! That was loud.
I'm sorry.
That was in my ear.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I don't think I have those ears anymore.
I had to make up for David not being here to yell at you.
Okay. Well. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. All right. Awesome. So how are you this morning, Clinton?
I'm slightly deaf. How are you?
It's been an odd few days.
Has it?
Yes.
Has it been?
It's been an odd few days,
I'm
but
sorry.
Good.
I'm sorry about that.
No, nothing to be sorry about. It's good. Odd is good.
All right.
Odd is good.
I'm glad odd is good.
Well, you know, no one wants to be normal. Who wants to be normal? That's boring.
I so want to be normal.
You do not want to be normal, Jason. No. Don't even like...
I crave normality.
You do?
Branson, Missouri is calling to me.
Oh, God. That's not normal. That is not normal. There is nothing about Branson, Missouri that's normal.
I'm packing up. I'm heading to the Midwest. I'm getting one of those...
I don't think you'll fit in,
I'm
baby.
I'm getting one of those tiny boxes.
But I don't think you'll fit in.
Made a ticky-tacky.
Ooh.
And then I will refuse to actually understand what that reference is. I'm going the full normal.
The full normal.
I'm going the
instead
full
of normal. The full Monty?
It's definitely instead of the full Monty.
Aw.
Because no one wants to see that.
You don't know that. Who have you asked?
It's true. I have not done the poll recently.
Exactly. See, you haven't asked anybody. You don't know.
Spelled P-O-L-L in this case, just to clarify there. Just to clarify.
Oh my God. You know what? If you need a poll teacher, I got one for you.
Hey, good Sunday morning to you guys. How are you? Everyone awake out there?
She's my best friend. She, you know.
This is what, you know, see, this is what happens when Rex Tillerson steps down. Everything goes chaos.
Everything.
He was the only thing holding us back, certainly.
Was it? Was he?
Every morning I would wake up and I'm thinking, I'm just going to go crazy. Oh, wait. But Rex Tillerson is Secretary of State.
That's what stopped you?
What would Rex do?
That can't be what stopped you.
That is. That's
WRD.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, if that's what stopped you, then I guess so. If you say so, I have to believe that.
All right. I appreciate your confidence in me. Why don't we switch to our first guest?
Can we do that?
Let's do that,
because, you know, he's over here giggling at us the entire time.
With you.
Oh, okay.
With us.
There's a difference?
Yes.
Okay.
If you say more so. Inclusive.
Not just as their distance, but making the difference, coming back to the show, welcoming him, Jason Burke!
What is going on?
Nice to see you, man.
So good to see you, too. How have you been?
I know!
Happy 2018.
Happy 2018. Yes, you had some lovely things happen in your life, the end and the beginning of 2018, didn't you?
You know, all kinds of things.
Yes.
But, you know, I went and got married
you
last
did.
Year. Yeah, give a shout out to my lovely bride, Caroline.
Hey, honey. Nice. Oh, I saw the pictures. You two are adorable.
Oh, to quote my brother on the day of my nuptials, he said... Yeah, you know, you've married way out of your scope, right? I said, yes, I have. Oh, yeah, I'm winning.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Exactly. Awesome. Aw, I'm glad.
Nice. It's really great when you can do that. You want to marry up.
Well, she's the brains of the outfit, you know. I'm just the face, you know. Oh, wait. That joke's better when I'm not on radio, guys.
Yes, exactly.
No, it's perfect on radio because nobody can check you on that.
Unsubstantiated.
I mean, wait.
Well, until they get on Google and then they're like, click, and click, click. Like, oh, he's lying. Terrible.
This must be the wrong Jason.
Yeah, right.
That's not the one that's on the radio right
Search
now.
Search for better looking Jason. No hits.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is how the internet has killed modern culture.
Yes, it has.
We're too searchable now.
We are too searchable. I don't want to be searchable.
This? Oh, no.
I don't want to be searchable. I don't want anyone in the world to just be able to Google me. Like, that just sounds wrong.
Indeed.
Well, you know, with technology, guys, I mean, it's hard to find a place where there isn't a cell phone or an internet connection.
I know.
I mean, you know, you can. I imagine somebody in sub-Saharan Africa right now is carefully
on their phone.
They're on their phone texting somebody.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, honey, gonna be a little late. Right. Dust storm.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to like friends of mine. I mean, not to talk about art for a moment, but I was talking about to friends of mine, and they were down. I think they were somewhere in the middle of Peru. Because they were on a vacation or something, and because I'm still kind of backwards, my immediate impression is like, oh, okay, they're going to be out for a while, and they're like, no, they're posting pictures, they're a phone call away.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to be going here, this outback, it's the out, as the okay, so I won't be able to, no, you can just call me.
Just ring me.
Yeah. Just call me.
But I thought you said you were going to, but you're on the other... Okay.
Anyway, hey, Jason, it's Six-Pack Songwriter Series time.
It really is. You know, some things have changed in the last year or so. One of the things that we did at the end of last year is we took the show and we've decided to give it a charitable emphasis.
And I remember, I think you were here the first time you guys did
exactly.
That.
You were able to help us get the word out about the benefit for PogChem, which was a huge success, you know, in my opinion anyway. I mean, we had a full house, raised money for PogChem, and we're doing it again. But this time we're doing it for two organizations because, well, I couldn't decide, and they're both great, so... It's my show. Let's help them both. Well,
there you
go. Let's do it. Yeah. So we're raising money for Sarah and for She.
Oh, great.
Absolutely. And
if people don't know, She is the Shelter for Help and Emergency, and Sarah is the Sexual Assault Resource Agency.
Thank you. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. And been in contact with both organizations. They thought it was a great idea. I was so glad to have them on board with it. And the approach is pretty simple. We are asking the artists to donate their time. I'm donating my time. And as soon as we get done paying the rent, so to speak, to the venue, because you gotta pay to have the lights on and open the doors, but you know that's very reasonable, and so the rest of the money is getting paid directly to those two organizations. They're going to split the proceeds down the middle, cut two checks, and we get a chance to help two organizations.
That's awesome.
So was this at all a difficult sell to the artist, or even a difficult sell to yourself? Because I know that artists struggle to be paid. It's a
fair question, Clinton. Seriously.
And especially with musicians, I know so many musicians whom I've talked to who say, you know, if somebody asks me to do something for free one more time, I'm just gonna scream and
kill
myself. And they're not talking about benefits, right? I just want to make sure that clear about this. They're not talking about charitable stuff. It's just like so many people come to them and said, "Oh, could you come do this show, or could you just do this, and could you just do it for free?"
Right. You know, and you're tapping into a part of the local musician experience, really. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this area is any different from any other area in the world in that sense. That, you know, what promoters sometimes want to do is cut costs with the talent.
Right.
As opposed to cutting costs in other areas. You know, granted, there's a bottom line that you're trying to meet when you have expenses to meet, and you're going to try to save money where you can, right? And that's where the musicians come in, you know. Right. And I don't know a single musician in town who thinks badly of a charitable organization asking them to donate their time. And everybody I know is involved in something in some capacity. Where it gets frustrating is when you have for-profit organizations basically looking to find free entertainment while they're profiting off of free entertainment.
Right.
And that's where it gets a little sensitive.
But
a situation like this, Clinton, it's fantastic to have us be in a position to give of our time and utilize our networks together for a common good. And no, it was not a hard sell at all, y'all. Everybody I reached out to was like, I'm there. I'm doing it. You know, or the people who couldn't do it were like, oh, dude, I'm out of town. Next time, please. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great,
which is great.
Sense of, yeah, great sense of giving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, cool. And who you got lined up?
Oh, we've got six wonderful local singer-songwriters, because, of course, at the heart of the show, it's an emphasis on Virginia singer-songwriters.
Exactly. Okay. Which we love.
Oh, yeah. You guys are great about promoting them, too. On this lineup, we've got Alice Claire, Mariana Bell, Kaylee Garrett, Jenna Matthew, Annabeth McNamara, and Sarah White.
We've had a couple of them on our show. We want to have the rest of them on our show sometime.
Sure.
That sounds like a great lineup.
Yeah. I can't take 100% credit for this one. You know, my better half was reaching out to me, and she was like, you should reach out to Kelly Garrett. She's good. And I was like, who? I'd been a little distracted as of late, and I was like, you know, get on the interwebs, find out. And I started watching some clips, and I was like, ooh, it's going to be nice. You know, and she was awesome. Yeah, reached out to her. She was like, I'm there, no problem. And she's bringing a special guest to accompany her.
Oh, my.
Surprise guest.
Yeah. I'll just say this. He's well-known in the area for being really good with a harmonica. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Really?
I don't want to give it away, but, you know.
I think you just did.
Yeah, I might have. Yeah, it's a poker face on the radio. It's not working. But, you know, yeah, I was listening to some of the artists this morning, and Mariana Bell's EP, her latest. It's a fantastic recording.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just reminded me of why I like to do the show. You know, it's hard to keep up, right?
Right.
So how about let's put on a show where you get to see six artists at the same time? And
right.
This time I wanted to do something really different and have just an all-female singer-songwriter lineup.
Right. I noticed that. I wanted to talk to you about that. I mean, it kind of seems like a no-brainer when you're trying to celebrate organizations like Sarah and like She. Was that part of it? I imagine so.
You know, a little bit, but it all kind of happened organically. You know, it started with, well, what if we do a benefit for Sarah? Well, what about She?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about both? Okay, well, how do we make this different from shows we've done in the past? And I started thinking about what we've done in the past, and I was like, well, you know, we've never had an all-female lineup. Well, why don't we do that? That's kind of a fun twist. And I started going down the list of people we've had before, people I haven't even heard yet, and I was like, well, let's do a mix up of both of those. Let's pull some favorites from the past. Let's introduce some new faces. And it's an opportunity, again, to do some conscious giving here.
Awesome.
And everybody I reached out to was A+, on board right away. And it kind of fell together beautifully.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Since we're talking about it, we've got some stuff from Mariana's new CD.
I don't have a track to recommend. They're all awesome. No, seriously, I was just listening to it this morning. I was like, oh, this was great. Kind of raising the bar on my own recording process, you know?
I was listening to your stuff last night as I was sitting there answering emails. I was like, I have a collection of all the musicians we've had on the show. Like, cause you know, we're lucky we get presents when they come. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, do I want to hear Clem? Do I want to hear, you know, Keith? Oh, I haven't heard Jason in a while. Let's put that on while I answer some emails. Awesome. You know,
like, thank you.
All right, well, let's listen to a little bit of Mariana Bell here.
Nice.
This is her from her newest EP. This is Caroline here on 94.7 WPBC Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art.
Shadows of your mind, but I fear where we will be, though, and the beast that's there to find. Oh, Miss Caroline, oh, Miss Caroline. Between humility and pride is Caroline.
Well, that was your addiction.
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
21 minutes past the hour, you listen to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. If you're just joining us here now, hey, how's it going? What up?
You're late.
Welcome to... Stop it!
You're 20 minutes late.
Stop it! Don't scare them away.
Set an alarm, people.
People don't like that.
I don't care. Set an alarm. Okay. I'm mean mommy.
This is a safe space.
No, it's not a safe space unless you get here on time.
We're sitting here with Jason Burke. Local singer, songwriter, and performer, and also organizer of the Six Pack Songwriter Series, talking about the songwriter series, the latest one, which is today. Right?
It is today, tonight.
Tonight.
Clinton Leslie, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
my pleasure. That was just Marianna Bell. You can come
back anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Just Marianna Bell, we were listening to Caroline from her new EP. Holy smokes, that's really nice.
Yeah, that whole EP is great, man.
Oh, my God. She's got such a beautiful voice.
Well, there's just a wealth of talent in this area.
There really is, especially singer-songwriter talent. Like, the amount of people telling compelling stories through music in this area is just mind-boggling.
You know, it's the inspiration behind the show, Leslie. You know, about 5 years ago, I was at the songwriter night at the local restaurant, which is on Monday nights. Michael Clem's hosting it.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, I know he's a friend of the station.
Yes.
And I was sitting there watching performer after performer going, this is some of the best music I've seen in years.
Yeah.
We need to do more with this,
yeah.
You know? And I went down to Bob Taylor at Rapunzel's in Lovingston, and I told him my idea, and he said, do it. Make it happen. Bring it here. And that's what we did, and we did it there 5 times over the course of a year, which is kind of an aggressive schedule, but
yeah,
good to get out of the gate running.
Yeah.
And we had a blast. And then I got an invite to bring the show up to Charlottesville and do it at the Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like the right time to move the show in town. And the first couple of shows that we did there, it was a bit of a zoo, really. We had tons of people.
Mm-hmm.
We had more people than chairs.
All right.
Good problem.
That is a good problem to have.
And we're shooting for that again tonight. You know, this fundraiser, these are two very important organizations, and it's a thing that I've noticed we are getting more comfortable discussing in American culture. It's a bit of a mixed bag for me. I don't like that there is still a need to discuss these situations, but the adult in me understands
partner violence and sexual assault.
Exactly. These things are real concerns, and you can pretend that they're not there, which is terrible. Or you can get engaged and try to help. And that's what I'm trying to do in my own way. I'm reaching into my tool bag here and trying to, you know, use the things that are at my disposal. And one of the things that I've got is a fairly extensive phone book.
There you go.
You know, and I reached out to these artists, and they're awesome. You know, they all said yes. They understand the value behind these two organizations. And they understand that, you know, this is an opportunity where we're not being taken advantage of.
It's, right.
You know, we are getting a chance to help those who have been taken advantage of.
Right.
We're kind of turning it around a little bit here.
Yeah.
So you yourself are an artist. You're a singer-songwriter.
I purport to be.
Has it been difficult to step into the organizer role in something like this?
No, it hasn't. It's been a fun challenge. I'll tell you the only difficulty I ran into was in the very beginning, was not internalizing the frustration of the train occasionally jumping the track.
Right.
You know, when you've got that many moving parts, you're talking about 6 artists potentially. You know, and another 12 accompanists, all of their equipment.
Yes.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It is.
And thankfully, for the most part, it's been a pretty smooth run. Mm-hmm. You know, every now and then something happens, and I like to think that each time I do the show, I'm getting a little bit better at absorbing that,
right?
And just trying to
and anticipating.
Anticipating is mm-hmm. huge.
Mm-hmm. You know. For something like this, do you get to have rehearsals? I mean, I know that there's got to be a sound check, but
there's a quick sound check, but no, there's no rehearsals for the show in that sense. You know, when we did it
at
the Paramount. Wow,
okay, because I'm a theater guy, and for me, that's crazy.
Oh, it's tight wire. Yeah, we're all out on the wire. Yeah. But, you know, what's fun about it, guys, is the professionalism that these six individuals bring, and,
right.
and their accompanists are always well chosen. It makes the show, at least from my vantage point, super exciting, because what you're seeing is not just things that these performers have done on their own individually. Sometimes you're going to see some crossover, some people sitting in with each other, you know, singing harmony. There's a level of unpredictability about it that has yet to disappoint.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, and I mean, and these amazing women that you have, I mean, I would love to see all six of them do a song together like that.
I don't know if that's been worked out behind my organizational back, so to speak. It would be cool if they had.
Right?
But I didn't ask of that because, you know, one of the things that is tricky when you're doing this show is you've got people living all over the state, right?
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough to get that many people in the same place at the same time more than once.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, That's just, I'm hoping to see that tonight, ladies. Just in case you're listening.
The challenge has been issued.
Gauntlet laid.
Are you making requests?
I am. I'm making requests. Why not?
Why not indeed?
I tell you, one of the perks for me is I'm not even really sure what songs are being played.
Right.
I'm kind of stepping in. I just know, like, the order in which they're
performing. And how long they each have.
And how long they have, roughly, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest is just, I'm watching in real time with the audience.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. So when is the next one?
Not on the calendar yet.
Okay.
You know, one thing that would really help Charlottesville is if we fill the house tonight, then we get another chance to bring this back here, ideally at the end of summer or beginning of fall.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really shooting for like two a year.
All right.
You know, because when you're doing six artists at a time, one thing I learned when we were doing it four times a year is that's 24 performers.
That's 20, yeah.
You're burning through some rosters.
People. Yeah, you're burning through some people. So I hope everybody comes out tonight, definitely. But if an organization wants to contact you to be the beneficiary for the next one, how would they do that?
They could reach out to me on the Book of Faces. My name is Jason Burke. You can also email me directly at jasonpburke@gmail.com. And that's a great way to get a hold of me because then there's an audit trail and I can actually go back and say, oh, yeah, we got to do that. So, yeah, hit me up on the internets and we'll talk about it.
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you.
Jason, give people the what, where, and when about the Six-Pack Songwriter Series.
Absolutely. The benefit for Sarah and She is at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall tonight.
Tonight, which means it's Sunday, six songwriters. Powering through at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall here in Charlottesville.
It's fantastic. I feel like I should have my luchador mask on.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Doors are like 7 o'clock and show is 7:30 p.m. at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall downtown Charlottesville tonight, Sunday, March 18th.
Be there or be Harvey Weinstein. Jason, thank you so much.
Love you. Love all of y'all.
Love you.
All right, 30 minutes past the hour.
How
let's
about that?
Talk about, what are we going to do?
Yeah, the
let's
stuff.
Talk about some stuff that's coming up.
Let's talk about all the stuff.
All the stuff that's coming up.
All the here. Stuff.
There's so much stuff, can I tell you? Oh, my God.
Good.
Last chance to see Billy Elliot, the musical at Shannon Arts in Stanton. You might want to go see it. Last chance, all right?
Yeah.
But currently running through March 25th, we've got Fun Home at Live Arts. Did you see that? Okay. Oh, my God. I saw that. It was so nice. Also, through the 25th, we got Noises Off, all right, at Fort County Players. You might want to see that. That's a funny show.
Saw that. Very
That's
funny.
That's a funny show.
So funny.
You know, and our friend Boomy directed that one. She's so good.
Lovely.
So, through March 25th, again, we got Current Works by McGuffey artist Judy McLeod hanging at Les Yeux du Monde
Les
Gallery.
Du Monde.
Yeah. So through March 31st, we got Annie Temenik's show Beasts at the Bridge PAI. You know,
not
part
Annie
of the
Temenik.
Nevertheless, She Persisted, the Women's History Month thing, you know. Okay. Through the 8th of April, we got the Actors Renaissance Season at the American Shakespeare Center. You know, Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead, Congreve's The Way of the World, John Marston's Antonio's Revenge, and Hamlet, and Richard II by Shakespeare, all at the Black Friars Playhouse in Stanton. Okay, you gotta get over to see that. The 21st to the 25th of March, we got the Virginia Festival of the Book. Oh my God. Okay. Go to the website, right? VABook.org for a schedule of events. There's so much. 21st, Fun for the Young Girls by Glynis Welty at UVA's Fralin Museum of Art. Children can enjoy a story read by arts educator Amy Hunt while museum docents encourage kids to engage with museum exhibitions. That's going to be lovely. Fun for the young ones. Love that. For the 22nd, we got local author and artist Lori G. Gulledge looks at the hero's journey as a practical roadmap for living the creative life, part of her show, Magic Flight, and part of the Virginia Book Festival of the Book. Okay. Also on the 22nd, UVA MFA Reading Series continues at New Dominion Bookshop with Michaela Cowgill and Nicole Lefebvre. All right. The 23rd, we got Bent, right? The Bent Theater Improv Company at the Bridge PAI. All right. Hey, Andy. Love you. On the 24th, we got The House of Belle. All right. They do drag shows. They got a matinee at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall on the 24th. You might want to go and see that. They're fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Also on the 24th, we got Big Blue Door Improv, Group's Feminine Hijinks Bunch, and The Administration perform at the Belmont Arts Collective. That's some weird names for improv groups. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll be funny. On the 24th, go check it out. All right. Last thing. Christy Wood leads an encaustic painting workshop at Second Street Gallery. Oh, that's encaustic painting. That might be nice to go do. I don't know. I have to find a friend. You know, we'll go get coffee and then we'll go paint something. That sounds like a nice afternoon for the 24th, right? Right. All right. And for your musical options this week, hold on just a second.
Coming up today, Renee Ruth returns to the Wildwood Brewery.
Renee Ruth turns to the Wildwood Brewery coming up today at 2 p.m. Oh, my God. Also today, UVA Chamber Music Series presents Albemarle Ensemble playing Eric Erwazin's Mosaics for Flute, Bassoon, and Marimba. Flute, Bassoon, and Marimba. And the Guadencio Tiago de Mello's A Hug for Pixinga at the Old Cabell Hall at 3 p.m. Also today, Amy Andrews and Kishana Armstrong do an acoustic set of torch songs at Snowing in Space at 4 p.m. Crozet Community Orchestra Concert performs Mozart's Clarinet Concerto in A Major, as well as works by Abraham Kachuk. What is this?
Can you read that? Oh, my God. That's a long one.
And Joachim Tarina at the Crozet Baptist Church at 4 p.m. Tomorrow, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. March 20th, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. Also, the Can-Do Attitude with Innocent Alex and the Urchins at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. March 21st, first, we're talking about Josh Mayo. He's opening an open mic night at 1221 Market Street. LG and Friends are at the Whiskey Jar. On the 22nd, the Weed Eaters are at the Whiskey Jar. And the Michael Ellswick Gathering and then the Tyler Dick Band, they're playing one after another at Fellini's. On the 23rd, Dreamlike Indie Folk Trio Larkspur perform the release concert for their first CD.
No.
Their first CD.
Their first one?
I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
Larkspur finally going on disc. You can check it out at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. 23rd, the Judy Chops at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Always a good time with the Judy Chops. Roots and Reggae singer-songwriter Greg Ward plays the Blue Mountain Barrel House. Heavy metal guitarist Quincy Kane Morris shreds it at the Snowin' in Space. Nathan Kohlberg of the Hill and Wood plays a solo show at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. On the 24th, it's guest conductor Laura Jackson leading the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra. A classy group.
Yeah.
A classy group.
They got nothing but class.
In a concert that involves Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini.
Paganini?
Paganini.
Is that like a sandwich?
It's what I packed for lunch the other day.
Oh, okay.
A little Paganini. March 24th, Rob Cheatham does a new release concert with Lord Nelson and Basically Blue at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Gabrielle Planis plays Fellini's The Michael Klemm Trio. Love Michael.
Oh my God, Michael.
Love him. Michael Klemm Trio at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Mojo Pie at Dirty Nelly's every Monday. It's the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. The singer-songwriter night at the local... Jason, just talking about that.
A few minutes ago.
Every Tuesday, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin guitar night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. And every Wednesday.
Oh, my.
Open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Open mic night at Holly Deli's and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Saucer Club.
Bam!
DG and Friends at the Bebedero.
Bam!
And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Woo! Oh my God, that's a lot.
It's a mouthful right
there.
That
was a lot.
That's a mouthful of art. Thursday, it's Lua at the Bebedero, and of course, every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
John Dirth! With the John Dirth Quintet at Miller's. Every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dirth. You just got to come
you
down
got
to
Dirth. You got to. I'm just saying.
All right. 38 minutes past the hour. Let's do a little bit of a drop here. Sounding something
Are
a little
Are we doing
bit,
a little drop?
It sounds something a little bit like this.
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
39 minutes past the hour. We're going to drop this. 39 minutes past the hour.
Well, you don't like my accent?
I love your accent. It's really great.
I'm sorry. I got started and I couldn't stop.
And you just went.
I just went.
You committed.
I did.
That's what's so impressive.
You know, if you're going to go in, you got to commit. You got to go all the way to the end.
All the way.
All the way to the end. I don't know why I picked that one today either.
It was good.
Right?
I dug it.
All of a sudden, I'm Edith from All in the Family.
Those were the days.
Don't. I'll start singing. Don't.
Before we head down Norman Lear Road, why don't we chill with our next guest joining us for the first time? It's Ellie White. You there, Ellie?
Yes, I am.
Woohoo! There
Yay!
We go.
Yay! Technology.
I'm always pleased when the technology works. So, Ellie White is a local poet, local writer. How you doing, Ellie?
I'm doing good. How are y'all this morning?
We are, you know, it's kind of early on a Sunday.
It is.
And artists aren't really used to being up early.
But we are, because we're doing this every Sunday.
We do this every Sunday, but it's always like, right, I have to get up. But it's the weekend.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, according to your website, which I love, it says that you've been trying to teach people to hallucinate since 1986. Can you go into that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So that's actually one of the oldest parts of my author bio. I came up with that, I think, probably 6 or 7 years ago when I was first starting to send stuff out to literary journals. I was like 24, and I just thought that that was clever and sounded cool. So that's kind of where that came from. And I think also just the fact that I have always had a really vivid imagination, and trying to get others on board with me with that has always been challenging. I think I think a lot in pictures, and apparently some people don't. Apparently some people don't think in pictures. I read that on the internet the other day. So I think maybe that's where that came from, just a combination of my wild imagination and also just that I thought I was being clever when I was 24. So
yeah, I don't understand why people don't think in pictures. That they should, right? That
I would think that considering how prevalent how much a part television and movies are in our culture.
Right. How could you not?
It would be really difficult to not think in pictures.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't remember where I read it, but I did read that some people don't think in pictures. So that would be very strange to me as well. But I guess some people don't think in pictures. So
So do you bring a lot of visual imagery into your poetry?
I do. And I mean, I think that kind of goes along with just the nature of poetry itself, because it is an image-based art. It's also a sound-based art, mm-hmm. but it is, you know, it's kind of a mix of both sound and image. But image is very important. Image is kind of your reader's entry point into your poem. So if you don't have strong imagery, you may have a poem that's doing all kinds of amazing things with sound, with meter, with rhyme, with all those things. But if you don't have strong imagery, your reader is not really going to have an entry point into your poem.
So this is great. This is great. So may I ask you a question about poetry, or at least may I ask you about about your opinion about poetry? So here's the question that I always like to ask poets, and I don't know that I always do, because I'm always afraid of pissing them off. Anyway, let me ask this question.
It's okay. She won't be mad at you.
Let me just go down this pointless rabbit hole before I actually get the question out, which is, for you, is a poem still a poem if the person is just reading it on the page, or is it not a poem until it's actually said and performed, maybe not necessarily by the poet themselves, but by somebody else? Like, how much is the oral nature of it essential? How much should poetry be a performative experience?
Well, I know just from having taken as many poetry workshops as I have that poems are designed to be read out loud. So if your poem, if you write a poem and it's not able to be read out loud, it definitely makes it, I think, more challenging. But I will say you also have poets who are highly experimental with language. You have poets like E.E. Cummings, whose poems,
right,
many of which cannot be read out loud. It doesn't mean that they're not poems. I think it's just a different type of poem. Because I'm not going to tell someone who's being highly experimental with language that because I can't really read their poem out loud that it's not a poem. I'm not a big fan of telling people that their poem isn't a poem. So, well, I will say that most poetry, I think, is designed to be read aloud and works best when it is read aloud, but it's not, 100% always the case.
So, in your opinion, is there a difference between poetry and spoken word?
Again, I think the lines are pretty blurry on that one. What I will say is I know that some spoken word poetry and some spoken word poets choose to never write their work down, especially people that still do improv, that still freestyle. I feel like that's a dying art. It's rare that I see someone freestyling on an open mic, but it's great when it happens. But that type of spoken word poetry, I think that is definitely different than poets who write their work down, simply because when you look at a freestyle piece that's never going to be written down, if you weren't in the room when it was happening, you've missed it. So it's a very temporary form of art. Of course, you know, the people that have seen it are going to remember it and take it with them. So in that way, it does have a sort of permanence. But it's definitely, you know, a different experience to hear someone freestyle a piece and to know that you're never going to see that in a book. It's never going to be written down.
Right.
You can't, right. You know, you can't bring the whole thing with you. You can bring with you what you can remember. But as far as spoken word, poetry slam, I don't really see a huge difference in, you know, I certainly would never say there's a difference in the quality of the art or in the amount of time that's put into it, in the amount of skill that it takes to write a poem that you intend to perform in a poetry slam versus write a poem that you intend to be published in a book or in a magazine somewhere. So I definitely don't see any distinction between the quality of the work.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I will say that I think some poems that you write down, you realize would probably not work well as performance pieces. So, you know, some stuff works to be performed, some stuff doesn't, but it's all still, you know, art.
Right. Art is art. So we're going to take a break and pay a bill, and we will come right back.
48 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. If you're just joining us, hey, what up? We're here with
No, hey, what up?
Stop it.
Hey, what up? They missed over half the show.
Stop it. You're here with Ellie. We're here with Ellie White, talking about poetry, talking about poems. How you doing, Ellie?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Still here. So, you, oh, God, I have so many questions.
See, Clinton gets very excited when we talk about poetry.
I just get very excited when we talk to artists. So, I mean, that's a great thing. So you are speaking coming up, right?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about Women's Word Storm and Open Mic?
So the Women's Word Storm and Open Mic is part of a series of events that the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative is putting on for Women's History Month. Patsy Asuncion has been hosting and organizing all of these events throughout the month.
We love
so
Patsy.
The Women's Word Storm. I know, I love Patsy too. She does so much for the arts in Charlottesville. She's amazing, and she's so fun too. Mm-hmm. She's so spicy.
Yeah. She's great.
She was
on the show one time, and I made a joke, or just it wasn't even a joke. It was just sort of a light bit of banter, and she just turned and looked at me.
Yes,
and there was just silence. And for a moment, I thought, oh wow, that
landed wrong.
That just landed so wrong. And then she said, "You're very funny."
Yeah.
And then went off to somewhere else.
Yes, love her.
Anyway.
But yeah, you know, Patsy's a lot of fun. But yeah, so it'll be, we'll have three poets, myself, Caroline, and Marion, who will all be reading some of our work, and then there will be an open mic. I believe the open mic is directly following the three featured readers. And I know the theme overall of the Women's History Month event is Nevertheless, She Persisted, so... Mm-hmm. We'll all kind of be reading work that we think speaks to that theme. Luckily, it's a very broad theme, so I feel like you can kind of make anything work with that, because I've been looking at my own work. Admittedly, I still have not decided what I'm reading for that event. I'm terrible about leaving that to the last minute, but it's okay, because I'm reading it off paper. I don't have to have it memorized. It's not like doing a slam. So, you know, got a little bit of you know, grace there. With knowing that I'm going to be okay to just read it off a piece of paper. But, yeah, so it should be a good time. And, yeah, that's happening Thursday, I believe, at 7. So y'all should come out and see us.
So speaking of Patsy, she has posted a recording of you reading at the Bridge PAI at an open mic on April 26th in 2017. You mind if I play it here really quickly?
Oh, my gosh. This... I have no idea what I read then, but sure, go ahead.
don't worry. I'm sure it's fabulous.
All right. Here's an example of poet Ellie White reading at the Bridge PAI on April 26, 2017.
Okay. So the first two I'm going to read are sort of about, I've noticed a theme in my work since I moved to Charlottesville. And I don't know if it's just the political climate at the time of the year that I moved or what happened, but I've been writing poems about roadkill, which is lovely. Oh, I mean, no. it's strange when you realize that you have more than one poem about a dead deer, but... So I'm going to read a couple of those first. So here's the first one. Oh, Frank, it's still alive. The older woman moans into her cell phone. The animal is between us, curled up in the middle of the road. Black marble eyes, its head turning back and forth. She speaks to me. I hate this part. They're going to come and shoot it. I don't know if she's guessing or if she's lived this moment before. Other cars approach from both directions. The animal, eyes still moving, is dead in the middle of the road. I put on my hazards. The older woman doesn't know how to use hers. The other cars stop, unsure what to do. The police are coming to shoot it, she shouts. Cars line up behind me. It's late and I'm sick. I've been driving 2 hours and I need to pee really bad. I have work in the morning. I drive away slowly. I tell myself I couldn't have helped.
There we go. That's Ellie White at the Bridge PAI.
That was beautiful.
2017. That was. Were you able to hear that?
Yes.
Ah, good. Yeah, that was roadkill. That was very moving.
Now that I heard myself, I was like, oh, I wonder which roadkill poem it's going to be because I have another one.
Okay.
Nice. I see what you mean about images, right?
Yeah, and that was one. So that one, I'll go ahead and do what I'm not supposed to do as a poet and say that was based on a real event that I experienced. And that was obviously a very strong, very disturbing, upsetting image that stayed with me. And for some reason, I felt like there was something there, especially in just the decision to leave the scene of that. I mean, obviously, I didn't hit the deer, so I had no obligation to stay. But at the same time, leaving the scene and just kind of bringing, kind of moments like that kind of bring you back to other moments in your life when you feel like you walked away from something that maybe you should have stayed. Maybe you could have helped. Maybe there was something that you could have done. And you feel kind of an odd sort of guilt for standing by.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because there's this tension between the passivity of the narrator and the actions taking part by people in the film or in the poem, right? Because you talk about the narrator sitting thinking, is there anything more that could have been done, and yet what is being done, which is putting the deer down, that's also horrible.
Right.
Yeah, and that was something that, you know, everyone I've told that story to, I said, you know, what good would it have done for you to stay? You don't need to see that, you know, because, of course, you know, I imagine that they did come and they did kill it, which was, of course, the more humane thing to do, given the fact this poor animal was wounded.
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't stay for that. And mainly, I just felt really bad for that woman, you know, this poor woman that had, you know, had the bad luck not only to hit a deer, but also to have not killed it. It's right. Just horrible. So,
well, Ellie, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. We want to wish you a good performance coming up at the Bridge PII. For people to know, if you want to see Ellie along with Caroline Bray and Marion Pierce, they're all going to be performing at Women's Word Storm and Open Mic as part of the Women's History Month event. Nevertheless, She Persisted at the Bridge PII, March 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Excellent, Ellie. Thank you so much.
I know I'm terrible. I can't remember when I'm doing readings, and I can't believe we're leaving off on the dead deer. Really? Nobody's going to want to come see this reading.
Everyone's going to want to see it.
Everyone's going to see it.
We just gave you edge. You are so you are so edge right now. You're like. Definitely all the little goth kids are going to
see.
Now, that's a stereotype. That was a stereotype.
That's a stereotype.
I apologize to the loads of goth kids who listen to this show.
All of the emo people are turning off their radios right now.
They're legion. Anyway, Ellie, thank you for coming on Homegrown.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. 7 minutes past the hour. 57 minutes past the hour. Time for Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Oh, it's time for me. So today I want to talk for a moment about comedy. Specifically, I want to talk about Netflix's move to take over comedy from HBO. In the past few months, we've seen comedy shows from Dave Chappelle, D. Ray Davis, and Jerry Seinfeld. The latest release in this comedy onslaught from comedians past is from Chris Rock. Now, there's been some talk about the subject matter. I don't really understand why. I mean, Chris has never been the comic to hold his tongue about current issues. And I was not surprised at all that the opening joke for this special was about police brutality. I mean, did we forget his attempt to joke about sexual assault victims back in November, right before all the allegations surfaced about men in Hollywood? So when he opened by saying that he wanted just as many white boys killed by police as black ones, I was not shocked at all. That's classic Chris Rock, right? I will say that this was a very different Chris. He wasn't as jovial as he had been in past specials. There was age on his face. The kind of age that comes with having a couple of walls in your life that you've never seen coming before. The good thing is that he spoke about all of it in the show. He spoke very candidly and amusingly about his divorce due to him cheating. He spoke about trying to take care of his children as a single dad. He spoke about the difference between being a black man and being anything else in this country. Things he talked about were poignant and true. I didn't laugh until I cried or pissed my pants. Rather, I found what he was talking about to be more truthful, more grown up. There was more I was left to think about, to knowingly nod at, to understand. This was Chris as a grown man, as he himself says in the show. And he's right. This growth is something we normally don't see in front of us, especially from a comic of his stature. It was nice to witness the growth. It was nice to get to see the man, not the persona. And I feel like I know him more now. And I really liked what I saw. Y'all should check that out.
All right, this has been Homegrown. Your show about local arts. Stay tuned for Sunday morning wake-up call. Coming up next, it's going
to
be
WPVC,
our man Sean Tubbs from Charlottesville Civil Tomorrow, talking about issues before Charlottesville City Council and our board of supervisors, with, of course, your Madman host, Rick Moore.
Voice of Charlottesville.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.